Thank you very much. I'm Vernon Joins, and for the next few moments, we'll be studying the subject of the rich man and Lazarus. In the 16th chapter of Luke's Gospel, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. This is quite a revealing story, for it gives us an insight into the next world. There we see the miseries awaiting those who are lost, and the mercies awaiting those who are saved. Let's see some of the lessons found in this story. First of all, there's the fine appearance before men. Doesn't mean final appearance before the master. The story begins, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. What a contrast in the appearance of these two men. One was rich, the other was a beggar. One was clothed in purple and fine linen, and the other was in rags. One fared sumptuously every day, and the other was longing for just the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. One would be welcomed in any society, but the other an outcast. One enjoyed good health, the other was full of sores. Those who are better off are not necessarily better. Things might be well on the surface, but not well with the Savior. The Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for a man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Luke 16:15. Jesus once said to the scribes and Pharisees, "For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." Matthew 23:27. We are prone to put too much stress on outward appearance, but a fine appearance before men doesn't mean a final approval before the master. This is one lesson we can learn from the story of the rich man and Lazarus, but let's think of still another lesson. The foolishness of trusting in riches. This man was condemned not because he was rich, and the beggar was not lost, unsaved, just because he was poor. The rich man was lost because he trusted in his riches. The Bible says, "He that trusteth in his riches shall fall." Proverbs 11:28. And the rich man trusted in his riches and he fell. The love of money is a root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the truth and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. 1 Timothy 6:10. This rich man seemed to have quite a love for money. Hence he erred from the faith and was later pierced with many sorrows. This man was so high-minded that he had no concern for the poor beggar that lay at his gate. Instead of trusting in the living God, he trusted in the uncertainty of riches. Paul admonished Timothy, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, and that they do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." 1 Timothy 6:17-19. The rich man then was condemned not because he was rich, but because he had made riches his God. He was rich in money, but not in good works. He was selfish, thinking only of himself, and he laid up treasures on earth, but failed to lay up treasures in heaven. How foolish to trust in riches. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? in Mark 8 and verse 36. This man gained much of this world, but lost his soul. He learned a lesson in death that he needed so much to learn in life, and so do we. But the terror of neglect and the awfulness of being lost is seen in this. It's a lesson we can learn. But oh, the tragedy of being lost eternally. The record says, in Hades, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. It seems that he knew who Lazarus was, because he recognized him in Hades, and knew where he was. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. If earlier in life this rich man had only known just how awful it is to be lost, no doubt the outcome would have been quite different. While his body had been faring sumptuously every day, his soul was being starved from day to day. There is no greater tragedy than the tragedy of being lost eternally. It's bad enough to be lost somewhere in this life. But when you're lost eternally, that's forever. Not only had the rich man neglected the beggar, not only had he neglected his own soul, but he had likewise neglected the spiritual needs of his family. This is evidenced by his conversation he later had with Abraham concerning the warning he wanted his brethren back at home to have. As we think of the story, may we see the terror of neglect and the awfulness of being lost. We also see that death at last comes to all. Now the scripture says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Death is certainly no respecter of persons. The rich and the poor alike must someday die. And the grim reaper will eventually gather into the next world the richest of the earth and the poorest of the earth. It matters not how much money you have. Your money cannot buy off death. Oh, you can't spend all your money and pay for not dying, because it just won't happen. Money can buy insurance to help a man's family after he is dead, but no amount of money can insure one against death. Death will eventually come, and we must recognize that, and we must be prepared for it. We must be prepared for it at the time when it does come. But let's look even further in this story for another lesson. The kind of funeral one has doesn't determine the kind of future he will have. An expensive funeral doesn't guarantee an excellent future. The Bible doesn't say how much the money was spent on this man's funeral, but being a rich man, we can well imagine it was quite a bit. Nor do we know just how little money was spent on the beggar's funeral, but no doubt it was precious little. These words would probably describe such a man's funeral. They rattle his bones over the stones. He is only a pauper whom nobody owns. There would surely be more real mourners at funerals if we could only see within the veil. Consciousness after death. That's something we need to understand. You know, man isn't going to into a state where he doesn't know, see, hear, or anything at all. But here is evidence of the fact that we will still know and have feelings after death. And this is just another lesson that we learn from this story, that man is conscious after death. After death, the rich man could see, he could recognize, he could speak, he could cry, and he could feel, he could reason, he could remember, he could desire. He saw and recognized Abraham. He saw and recognized Lazarus. He could feel the pain of torment because he said he was being tormented. He remembered how refreshing cool water had been. He cried for mercy. He remembered how many brethren were in his family. And who could read this story as told by our Lord and not believe that man is conscious after death? What great lessons can we learn from the story of the rich man and Lazarus? We learn that a fine appearance before men doesn't mean a final approval before the Master. We learn how foolish it is to trust in riches. We see the terror of neglect and the awfulness of being lost. We learn that death comes to all, rich and poor alike. We likewise learn that the kind of funeral a man has doesn't determine the kind of future he will have. We learn that man is conscious after death. Now let's consider some false ideas that are refuted in this story. The idea of universal salvation is refuted. There are still people hold to that idea, even though they have Bibles. They can read and study their Bible, but they still do not believe what it says. The fact that one man was saved and the other was lost refutes this idea. Not only is such refuted here, but in other passages as well. Jesus said, "Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." Matthew 7:13-14. Hear these words of Jesus. "For if ye believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." John 8:24. "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Luke 13:3-5. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 10:32-33. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Beloved, from these and other passages, how can anyone think that all will be saved? Salvation is conditional. Not until these conditions are met will man be saved. "And you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. The Bible does not teach that all will be saved, but it does teach that salvation is offered to all. Those who will not accept salvation and the terms upon which it is offered cannot be saved. The idea of materialism is also refuted in this story. Some think that death ends it all. But the fact that the rich man and Lazarus did not cease to exist after death refutes such an idea. Job's question, "If a man die, shall he live again?" Job 14:14. And it was later answered by our Lord in these words, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in their graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." John 5:28-29. Death is not annihilation. There is something beyond the grave. All that are in the grave shall hear the Lord's voice and shall come forth. Beyond the grave there is eternity. Every man will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. The idea of spiritualism is also refuted. The fact that the rich man wanted to deliver a message to the living and couldn't refutes this idea. The man had asked Abraham to send Lazarus back to his father's house and warn his brethren, but this request was denied. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But the man said, if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Abraham replied, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And the idea of spiritualism is refuted in this story. Remember, they were living before the church began, and they died before the church began, and so that's the reason why they were told to hear Moses. Now, the idea of the second chance is refuted as well. There are some religions that state that there will be a second chance for people under certain conditions. And the rich man pleaded for mercy, but was denied it. He had his chance, but had thrown it away. Once death comes, there will be no second chance. It is either now or never. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Inasmuch as there will be no second chance, it behooves us to make adequate preparation now. Tomorrow might be too late. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Oh, the foolishness that we show in our lives when we delay doing what we know is right. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. The story of the rich man and Lazarus teaches that man will not receive a second chance. Then there's the idea of miraculous power apart from God's word. This is also refuted. The fact that that God refused the rich man's request to send someone from the dead to warn the living refutes such an idea. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16. The engrafted word is able to save our soul, James 1 and verse 21. Souls are purified in obedience to the truth, 1 Peter 1, 22-23. It is through the word of truth that men are sanctified, John 17 and verse 17. By the truth of God's word, men can be made free, John 8, verse 31 and 32. Now, it is through the word that men are drawn to God, John 6, 44 and 45. God's word is referred to as the word of grace, Acts 20 and verse 32. It is through that word God makes known his grace. The only way we can be saved is by submitting to the word that reveals God's grace. The idea of temporary punishment and perdition is also refuted. Some seem to think that men might be punished in perdition for a certain period, and after being purged from their sins and the fires of torment, then they can go to heaven. And this story refutes such an idea. Listen to what was said to the rich man. Between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from here to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from there. There will be no crossing over from the place of torment to paradise, nor vice versa. Once man goes to torment, he'll be there forever. That being the case, the time for man to make sure of his salvation is while he lives. It'll be too late after he dies. What great lessons we can learn from the story of the rich man and Lazarus as told by our Lord. Don't try to discount this story by saying it was just a parable and so forth. It doesn't make any difference. The lesson's still the same. But accept it at its face value, realizing it contains the teaching of Christ. He is intended for us to get the lessons and he was teaching and the warnings he was giving. Will you profit by such teaching of the Lord and decide here and now to give yourself completely to him, so that you can escape the condemnation of hell eternally and experience the comfort and the consolation of heaven, which God has prepared for the faithful, and Jesus is now making a place for you and me if we desire to go there enough to obey his will. Thank you for listening to the broadcast today.